Part 6, Chapter 9. The village sprawled on the shore of what they said was Loch Shin. It looked temporary, as though the inhabitants could easily pick up belongings and flee to a mountainside. A great many racks stood about with fish drying on them. A few children peeked, afraid, from behind fallen walls. No vast number of people came out to watch the group enter the village, but there was a feeling of eyes watching. Here, too, the mist softened the land. The waters of the loch lay placid and extensive in the quiet day. They put Johnny in the front chamber of the only whole stone house apparent. It had an inner room, and the old man went in. There was considerable murmuring of voices from in there as Johnny waited. A scrawny child peeked at him from behind a tattered cloth curtain, its blue eyes intense. He put out a hand toward it to beckon it closer, and it vanished in a flurry of curtain. There was evidently a back door, and Johnny heard it open and close several times. The murmuring in the inner room intensified. More people were coming into it from the back. At length, the old man came to Johnny.
"He'll see you, New,"
he said, and pointed to the inner chamber. Johnny went in. About 8 men had assembled and taken seats along the walls. They had spears and clubs beside them or in their hands. Seated on a large chair against the back wall was a big black-haired, black-bearded power of a man. He had a short skirt that showed the bony knees of strong legs. He wore a pair of white cross belts, pinned together at the center of the X with a large silver badge. A bonnet sat squarely on his head, and he held a large ancient sword across his knees. Johnny knew he must be looking at chief of the clan, Fergus. Fergus looked about at his council to see that they were all there and alert. He stared at the newcomer.
"A messenger,"
said Fergus.
"From whom?"
"Have you had any trouble with the monsters?"
said Johnny. A shock went through the group.
"I take it you mean the demons,"
said Fergus.
"Would you mind telling me any trouble you have had?"
This threw them into an uproar. Fergus held up an imperious hand. Quiet fell.
"Young man, since you give us no name, as you claim to be a messenger, although you have not said from whom, though I suppose you will tell us in good time, I will do you the courtesy of answering your question."
Johnny was getting the notes of the accent and followed easily. The chief talked in his throat and clipped off the words.
"Since the days of the myths, we have had nothing but trouble with the demons. The myths tell us they raised a cloud across the land, and all peoples died except a very few. I'm sure you know these myths, since they are religious, and you appear to be a properly, politely religious man. All to the south of us, no men dare live. There is a fortress of the demons 500 miles to the south and west, and from time to time they foray out and hunt men. They kill them without reason or compunction. At this moment you find us in the fishing village, for the fish are running. We sit here and work at risk. As soon as we have a little food, we will retire further into the Highlands. We have always been a proud people, we of the Clan Fergus, but no one can fight the demons. Now that I have answered you, please, continue."
"I am here to recruit 50 young valiant men. They will be taught certain skills and will perform certain tasks. It will be dangerous. Many of them may die. But in the end, should God grant us fortune and we are true to our task, we may defeat the demons and drive them from this world."
It caused an explosion. The council had withdrawn into themselves at their chief's recitation of ancient history, and they had been made fearful. But the idea of someone combating the demons was so outrageous, they exploded. Johnny sat quietly until the chief thumped the chair arm with his sword hilt. The chief looked at a council member.
You wished to speak, Angus?
Aye. There's another myth. That once long ago when Scots were thousands, a great crusade went south and they were crushed.
That was before the demons,
shouted another council member.
Nobody has ever fought the demons,
yelled another. A grizzled council member stood forward, and the chief recognized him as Robert the Fox.
I do not deny that it would be worthy cause. We starve in the Highlands. There is little grazing for sheep. We dare not plow and plant crops as our ancestors once did in these rocky glens. For the myths tell us demons fly through the air and have eyes. And some say that the strange metal cylinder that passes overhead on some days is itself a demon. But I also tell ye,
he continued,
that this stranger, clothed in what I take to be buckskin, signifying a hunter, speaking a strangely accented speech, smiling and courteous and no argyle, has voiced an idea that in all my long life I have never heard before. His words cause the mind to flare with sudden vision. That he can propose such a vision of daring and boldness proves that in some way he must be a Scot. I recommend we listen.
He sat down. Fergus was musing.
We could not let all our young men go. Some would have to be from the Campbells, some from the Glencannons. But never mind. Stranger, you have not told us either your name or from whom you are a messenger.
Johnny braced himself.
I am Johnny Goodboy Tyler. I am from America.
There was chatter. Then Robert the Fox said,
legends say it was a land of the ancients where many Scots went.
Then he's a Scot,
said another council member. The chief held up his hand to quiet them.
That doesn't tell us from whom you are a messenger.
Johnny looked calm. He didn't feel calm.
I am a messenger from mankind, before we become extinct forever.
He saw a flicker of awe in some, a flicker of wonder in others. The chief leaned forward again.
But how did you get here?
I flew here.
The chief and the others digested this. The chief frowned then.
In these times, only the demons can fly. How did you get here from America?
I own a demon,
said Johnny.